Hi, everyone. Welcome back to episode 3 of Coffee, Cults, and Empires. This is your host, the intern, reporting to you live from the kitchenette's snack closet. Normally, everyone in the office would be begging me for coffee around now, but today I'm all alone. There's a meeting that everyone but me is attending. Why not me? I'm just an intern, so they told me to go get snacks. I think the meeting is about the security leak, so about me. I mean, totally not me. Wink. I might not have much time, so let's get into it. Our players are professors from Experimental World 62C. The game itself is set 1,000 years in their past at a gambling hall resort, where they have been enjoying the ambiance, making fun of the local coffee, and dealing with giant arachnid attacks. They killed those spiders so effectively that they got noticed by the Lord of Hospitality, Tenovadon. The meeting with Tenovadon included a broadcast of characters, some of which are... The second is Ovidon to his subordinates and breastplate guy to the party. He was hiding during the attack, but Urik is attempted to seduce him anyway. The captain of the guard, or just the captain if you have a short attention span like me, they missed the attack itself, but they're leading the investigation and shoring up security. The put-out merchant from Cloyle, Achiet Jakitum, was even more put out when Callum made Justice seem to talk, although not as much as Helena was. And finally, there's Tagak. She's an artisan with fox-like ears who beat a spider to death with a pair of tongs. Also, she has a conspiracy theory that her girlfriend's mom sent the spiders. So far, the party doesn't have much to go on, but Helena spotted a cloaked figure in the distance where the spiders seem to come from. Could that solve the mystery? Is Tagak right about her girlfriend's mom? Let's find out. Oh, great. Also, Tanem has some music to set the mood. And yes, before you ask, this is where I acquired the podcast theme song. Didn't want Tanem's purchase to go to waste. I'm not going to put in the normal intro music since we'll be listening to it soon enough. Okay, now on to the show. Are these granola bars? How old are they? You know what? I think these will really set the mood for this meeting, whether my bosses are talking about me.
I've got a treat for you all, by the way. This is music. I got another rock.
Oh, Tanem.
Oh, dear.
Why does this sound like a faculty presentation?
This one is more for general mood.
What's the mood?
Rather than a specific situation. So I think it's more generally applicable.
I mean, last one was pretty great.
Is that a sideways harpsichord?
Yeah.
Feel like something important is about to happen.
Right, I'm curious. Oh, yeah. Wow, that was not bad.
Quiet.
What?
It's still going. It's good music.
I mean, that pretty good music 1,000 years ago. It's not bad.
It's good for now. That's really good. I mean, I feel it. I'm ready to, like, go to a market and buy stuff or sell stuff or...
I love it. It makes me want to dance.
Was really kind of long, Adam.
If I ever have to roll the initiative to something that long, I'm going to kill you.
It was quite long.
It's good music. You said it was period appropriate.
Yeah. It's guaranteed 1,000 years ago.
Oh, Tanem.
Oh, no. What?
Look, I'm sorry to break your mirror. that song. It has the sideways harpsichord in it.
Yeah, doesn't it sound great? I really like that part.
Dude, I thought it was pretty nice.
It sounds great. The sideways harpsichord was not invented until like 700 years later, approximately 3398.
Oh.
We're playing in 2667.
Oh, buddy.
Wait, no.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be condescending. It's just...
Well, I mean, Tandem's buying all these rocks. I understand why you're taking nothing for granted.
I know they're certified guaranteed period appropriate, but that is not period appropriate. That's 700 years off, Tandem.
Look, I don't say much nice about Harmony, but she does kind of know her instruments.
Mm-hmm.
No, like it's teeth. Like all of the, you know, all the old timey music always has sideways harpsichord in it.
Yeah, from old times, like 50 years ago.
Maybe 200.
Sounds great, though.
No, it really does.
It's fun music.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Harmony, you're being surprisingly nice, honestly.
I'm looking at your face. You spent so much money on it. And it's good music. It's fun. It's just I'm tired of watching you get scammed.
How many more did you buy, Tanum?
What do you want, Discuspis?
Is there any way I could get you to scream it's not period just, you know, for me?
Sure. It's not period.
Nice.
Louder.
Again?
I want some commitment.
God, sorry, Tanum. I'm so sorry to lift your bridge like this, but that music is not period appropriate.
I peed myself.
Oh, lift this bridge is it's a real old one there, Harmony.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I mean, I feel like this bridge was most recently referenced in that pop song, and it was not talking about lifting an actual bridge.
I'm deceased.
Don't listen to them, Tan. I'm sure it's period appropriate. It probably just sounds like a sideways harpsichord, you know? It's probably... Nah, you got scammed, man. Sorry. Yeah, no, there's no way around it.
I love you. I love your rock. It was a very good song.
Shall we get back to the game?
I do need to refresh myself one moment.
Yeah.
Let's... Okay. I remember from last time. Go ahead and describe whatever. I'll be back in a second.
Sure. Last time we were in the office of the Lord of Hospitality, Tanovadan, and the captain was looking a little bit down about having not prevented the attack and actually not being there for it, and had vowed to get to the bottom of it. And just before we concluded last time, the artisan who had beaten the one spider to death with the fire tongs had just given a speech about how she thinks that the spiders were sent by her lover's birth mother, who doesn't think that they should be together, doesn't like this idea that Tagak is with her daughter.
Hey, I'm back. So as part of all of that summarizing, did you remind everybody that Helena is absolutely pissed about what happened with the illusion on justice?
Oh, man. Fully forgotten. That's where my spell slot went.
Helena is pissed.
Ooh. It'll probably be fine.
There will be a reckoning about that later. We can also do some of that, but just before we concluded last time, everyone was silent and digesting this weird rant that the artisan just went on about how these deadly spiders were sent by her potential mother-in-law as a way of driving her away from the daughter.
Did we get an idea of who this lady's mother-in-law was? I forget.
No, we have not heard anything about that.
Well, in that case, hey, so who is your mother-in-law anyway? She the kind of person that we should be worried? I mean, she already sent spiders. That seems pretty bad, but is she a noble or, independently wealthy? Is she going to be a a big problem, I guess is what I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, she sent a bunch of giant spiders after us. So like I said before, she's not subtle, but the two of them live alone together out in kind of an oasis area out into the desert a little bit. Actually, she has her own tower there. Her mom does.
Great. Creepy rich person in the desert. Ah, that's just what we wanted to hear.
Well, at the risk of being contrary, while it sounds like this person has a motive and a means, that is not proof that that's actually who's behind what happened.
Well, you know, you can think what you want, but I know what's up. The captain and the Lord of Hospitality both don't look particularly convinced, but they are not as unconvinced as the artisan is convinced. Like, you know, the magnitudes of those are definitely different.
I turn to the captain and I say, is there anyone else who might have a motive?
That's an interesting question. Definitely something I need to look into. Yeah, I've got to say, it's pretty embarrassing, but I'm caught pretty off guard on this. This is kind of my job, and this is not something that I have heard anything about through my network or anything. It is just really out of nowhere.
Said both the guard and the DM.
The Lord of Hospitality seems to have made a bit of a decision and says, well, as it is very late, two things. One, I think we should probably get some rest. We can obviously have our guards to continue to be on extra alert, but I think that the immediate threat seems to have passed, and I think we'll probably all think better on some sleep. Secondly, y'all did a wonderful job of repelling this attack, and I'm wondering if you might be willing to take on a temporary position with us, investigating it a bit and finding out what went wrong. I have the utmost of faith in the captain, despite their own misgivings, but this is, like the captain said, quite irregular and out of nowhere, and more than we're set up to normally handle. The second, the one who was hiding inside and showed you upstairs, breastplate guy, has been scowling since she started talking about you getting involved. He says, well, maybe it is something that we should be better prepared for. This is maybe a leadership question.
Oh,
the Lord of Hospitality shoots him just the like most I am going to cut your liver out kind of glare and says, as I said, I have the utmost confidence in the captain. Thank you, second.
I'm going to make the cheetah make the noise that I actually made.
I just feel relieved because when I heard shoots him, I was like, wow.
this gambling hall.
Yeah, do we want to work here?
Hostile work environment.
I mean, it is a casino. Or
they have a healer in the back. It works out fine.
The captain is stone-faced through this, just not giving anything away about how they feel about it. At the Lord of Hospitality's emphasis on second just really seems to be that shot that you were worried about. The second does not seem to take that very well. Maybe as if his breastplate has a little bit less gleam now.
Aw.
And after a moment, the Lord of Hospitality says, it's definitely time for me to go to sleep. Captain, please do make sure that we have extra guards posted and ready just in case the spiders come back.
Was it the Lord of Hospitality who just asked us to do the job?
Yes.
Yeah, conversationally, it sort of felt like she offered us a job and then, I guess, sleep on it. Because then the next declaration was, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I should probably get to bed soon. But is this something that you think you might be interested in?
So here's the gambit that I want to pull. I want, who am I right now? Rufus? What do I call myself? Anyway, Callum. We'll call my character Callum for the moment. So Callum is going to be like, yeah, we can help. We can do it. And the cheetah is going to be like, oh, but we have so many obligations already, and it's going to be so expensive.
I like that the cheetah thinks about travel costs. It's just very good.
And the whole point of it is going to be to try to get them to pay us the most possible, where I'm just like, oh, man, you're right. Oh, well, the rest of you can interrupt me in this charade, but it will be immediately obvious to you guys what's going on. If you haven't figured out about the cheetah yet, then this will, like, give it away. But
this sounds delightful. Rupert is the name.
Yes, thank you. Rupert is my current name. Thank you.
Wait, Rupert is your current... Oh, yeah.
Illusions around illusions. I got circle layers, and all of them have a name, and I forget their name sometimes. Sorry.
I forget my own name sometimes.
Maybe I should add that to the cheat sheet.
Well, if I'd had my notes open quickly enough, I would have known, but
I think that you probably need to do some sort of check for this.
Acceptable. I think I'm going to be better at doing checks than doing role playing.
Well, I mean, we can also do some of that, but
it's just trying to be both sides of a conversation is going to be a little tricky.
But this is probably a deception, I would guess. You're trying to convince them that you're actually having this argument with this cheetah.
I would like it to
maybe
be deception,
performance.
Please.
Maybe performance, but I guess I can give you your choice between performance and deception.
All right. And would you say it counts as a situation where I'm trying to convince them I'm someone I'm not?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I guess...
I'm trying to convince them I'm the guy who's benevolent.
Yeah, but you are also trying to convince... I guess you are also theoretically trying to convince them that you're the cheetah. But I'm not.
I'm trying to convince them I'm not the cheetah. The cheetah is its own person. All right, I'll just roll. That's fine.
Yeah,
I don't need the bonus. I'll roll in 20. You just wait.
I'll try to help by chiming in with the cheetah and going, oh yes, but I love travel though. It's so nice to be able to get out sometimes, as it's talking about travel costs and you know, the difficulty of finding good accommodations and such.
I'm going to let this go on for a moment, and then I'm going to say, excuse me, Justice, and I need to step out for a moment.
All right, so that was a nat 20 that I just rolled for 28, I believe.
Okay, it's
a good opening roll. I feel good about this session.
Yes, this is excellent. Okay, show us how it goes, knowing that you're going to be successful in your endeavor.
All right, so Lord Tanovadan, of course we are available to help at your service. We are but humble servants willing to assist in any way. And then the cheetah's going to be like, you know, we already did promise. And I'm going to make up something about like, you know, Lord Thrithgri, and we already said that we'll be missing out on a lot of money if we don't get out of here pretty. And I'm like, oh, well, but this has the, you know, you're right, and we do have to help all of those sick orphans that we promised to.
I don't remember helping any sick orphans.
Well, we haven't made the money yet to do, you know, it's on our to-do list.
Yes, definitely. I certainly plan on helping the orphans.
It's like, I don't know. And I mean, but this is important, clearly. We'll try to squeeze you in, you know, if we can. And yeah, that's kind of how it goes. And then I guess the cheetah gets dismissed.
Yeah, I beckon to Justice that I'd like her to follow me out.
Yeah, and I can't control the cheetah, so it goes where it wants.
Do you kill the illusion as soon as...
Yeah. It would be funny if there was like a ghost cheetah sitting in the room for me. I'm not going to go that far. I saw the daggers look. I'm like, oh, I know that.
Well, I'm going to ask about payment and also about like what kind of food choices, like will it be catered? Tell me about the snacks, beverages, refreshments, etc.
Well, I'm sure that we can come to some sort of arrangement in terms of the specific numbers. As far as the food goes, you'll have, of course, access to the finest dining here at the hall, plus obviously provisions for any journeys that you need to make as part of this.
I would like a chocolate fountain in my hotel room.
If she gets a chocolate fountain, I also want a chocolate fountain.
Disembodied voice from where the cheetah went. Me too.
It's a little, I think we have some chocolate fountains. I'm not sure if we have so many.
Let me just pull it out of my pocket for you, why don't?
I suppose if you have a shortage of chocolate fountains, you can always go run a few normal fountains through the mirrors till we get one. I don't even mind if it's like a strawberry chocolate fountain.
She says, those are your terms, then I think that we can probably make that happen. It might take a couple of days to get all of the chocolate fountains.
Oh, no, we're being paid in chocolate fountains now.
I mean, the chocolate fountains were more of a secondary payment thing. I do believe I would prefer to be paid in armor or...
We could also pay you in gold. We do have gold that we can pay you with.
Yeah, I just wanted to negotiate for perks, really. The chocolate fountain is more of a fun little thing. I may work it into my armor later.
I'd be quite excited to see that.
Me too.
How about I'll get people on the chocolate fountain thing, and you guys can get started on your investigation. They're excited to have you aboard.
I'm excited too.
The artisan is... looking a little bit impatient. I don't really understand why there needs to be so much investigation, but, that's fine. You can do your thing and with your chocolate fountains or whatever. Let me know if you're going to head over to the Oasis, though. I can maybe help with that. You can find me at my stall out inside the hall wall where I beat that spider to death. So I'm going to go home and try to sleep now. We'll see if that happens. And she wanders out the door. Rosephine, are you just outside?
We stepped into the hall, and in addition to getting the cheetah away from this nonsense, I also want to look at if there are any other interesting characters, anyone who's perhaps been spying on us, anyone who looks disgruntled, anything interesting.
When the door opens up and people start coming out, Captain, as they come out, looks determined. The second, the breastplate guy just looks pissed, like not even bothering to hide, dissatisfied overall look. But otherwise, you don't note anything in particular.
Okay.
The Lord of Hospitality calls for a attendant who shows you all to your individual rooms just outside the wall of the hall. There's no accommodations in the hall itself or inside the wall. But just outside, there's lots of fancy places to stay, and you are shown to the fanciest. What is everybody doing once you get to your room?
Well, mostly getting the spider guts off my armor.
I lock all my windows. I go to the bed, and I untuck the sheets. So later, when I go to bed, like if I need to just take them off in a hurry, I can. I don't have to worry about it.
See, that's what the adventurers don't think of, is getting tangled in the sheets.
Do you and your cheetah go to the separate rooms that are prepared for you, or does Justice come with you?
I think that the cheetah and I will take a suite. I have to do some settling in, and I do need to stop by Mr. Eldridge Blast's room. I'm going to keep it very short.
Okay.
I'm going to be standing in the doorway. I'm going to look at him. I'm going to look at Justice. I'm going to look back at him. And I'm going to say, don't. And then I'm going to walk back to my room.
Do you say anything or do you...
It sounds like the conversation's over before I have a chance. Of course, I'm going to get settled into my hotel. Like, you know, that takes a good hour. But at some point, I want to... I guess how late is it?
It was just night... when you headed over to the hall, and the battle didn't take so long, but there was time afterwards. And so it's a few hours into night at this point.
At some point, I've been really interested in this artisan lady who apparently has in-laws that send spiders and can beat them to death with tongs.
Potential in-laws.
Yeah. And yeah, like I wanted to talk to her since I found out about the tongs thing. So, I'm going to go by and see if she's still up. And I'm not going to be super subtle about it, so I guess if anyone wants to come with me, they can.
I'll go with you.
Yes, I'll join as well. You know, after getting all settled in the hotel.
Cool. All right. So it's the middle of the night. Terribly rude time to like just go barge in on someone. But she did say she probably wasn't going to sleep. we'll kind of lead with that.
Okay. Eurykus and Georg, while you're putting stuff away and tearing sheets off of beds, you hear some commotion in the hall and you hear Helena's voice, but not enough to actually hear what's going on. And then about an hour later, you can hear a door opening into the hall.
I'm going to like gently knock on everybody's doors. This group seems cool. I'm just been like, hey, I'm going to go talk to that weird fire tongs lady. You guys should come with me. It's going to be good. I know it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, are you going to make the cheetah talk again?
Oh, was it that obvious? I thought it was so sneaky.
You know, it was pretty sneaky until it got obvious. I don't think the guards caught on, though.
I mean, as long as we get paid, that's what's important.
Oh, I bet we will.
I'm just going to stay behind both of you. No, thanks. I'm so tired. Oh, and can I read Georg's mind just in general while I'm being sneaky?
No. I mean, yeah, but yeah. No.
Good luck sneaking up on me. Can you beat a perception of -2?
I guess surface thoughts for Georg.
I'm kind of hungry, and I'm real curious about this. I've forgotten your name.
Apparently so have I. Ruford.
Ruford, that was it. Anyway, Ruford, I'm real curious about Ruford, so I'm probably thinking something to the effect of like, who is this guy? He's kind of funny. I like him. He makes cheetahs talk, and anybody who makes cheetahs talk's got to be cool.
All right. Well, sensing your opinion of me and also that you were like laughing about getting paid, I'm also starting to like you back. Plus, you were a pretty good meat shield and I really like having a meat shield around. So despite the fact that Eurykus seems to like you sometimes better than me, seems like we're cool. Yes.
Yeah, as well. Definitely.
We just start joking and laughing along the way. Eurykus probably doesn't even have to hide. She can just like walk 10 feet back.
Yeah, I'm not really looking for her.
Do you also knock on Helena/Justice's door?
I won't knock, but I'll be like, I'll go outside the door in a like medium talking voice, be like, hey, we're going to go talk to that tongs lady. Do you want to come? And I'll wait like 1 second. Okay, bye. I'm less interested in like disturbing you right now.
I was giving myself a foot rub, so I've got to slip my boots back on. But yeah, I don't want to split the party.
All right, so we're like halfway down the hall, then you come out the door, and I'm just like, oh, she doesn't look like she's glaring at me now. Okay.
Is that when Eurykus is like ducks behind a corner or something?
But I think I jump really high. You know, there's probably like something I could hold on to on the ceiling, right? It's for like a bar. I have good abs. I can
good
just...
old convenient bars on the ceiling. Yes, I'm sure.
Can I roll for a bar?
You got to roll a 21 on the die. Yeah.
I think they have an aesthetic of exposed crossbeams going on in the hallway. So guess athletics check. So you know what? I guess it's more acrobatics. Yeah, this is more acrobatics.
8+5.
Okay, so 13. You try to do this super cool maneuver where you're going to try to get out of their line of sight by pushing your foot on the wall and jumping up and grabbing onto a crossbeam thing. And you halfway do it, but you slip when you try to grab it. You don't get a good grip on the thing. And so you land back on your feet.
I'm going to walk by like I didn't see anything, but Justice is going to walk up to her and sniff.
Oh, I love Justice. I just go, hi, everybody. I'm coming.
Okay. I whisper, it would have been a sweet loaf.
Thank you.
Okay, so you head out of the hotel. You see some staff along the way, and there's no questioning glances or anything. It is very much, you are guests at this fancy hotel, and whatever weird things you want to do, like going out in the middle of the night, is totally fine with them. They will be waiting with bated breath for your return, is at least the attitude that they are trying to convey.
Yeah, I'm used to that.
Watch out. They're going to tuck your sheets back in.
Oh, no.
Oh, I do say to the group, Hey, everyone. I have a request. I'm super excited to talk to Beat Things to Death with Her Tongs conspiracy theory lady. Can't explain to you how riled up for this I am. I do want to sleep tonight, though.
Yes, I suppose we should get to bed at some point.
I mean, yeah, I did all that work to negotiate the rooms. Of course we're going to sleep in them.
I'm just saying, if she wants to go to that crazy desert tower middle of the night right this second, I think that we need our spell slots back.
Yes, well, I certainly wouldn't skip my beauty rest.
Oh, I did say I took an hour. Can I count that as a short rest?
Yes. I guess everybody can, unless pulling the sheets off the bed was like super strenuous, we can count it as a short rest.
Okay. It's harder than you think, but not super strenuous.
More of a thinking thing rather than a...
yeah, than a muscle thing.
It was a puzzle. One of the many services that they provide. The famous puzzle sheets.
Watch out for the labyrinth bathtub. Getting in is easy.
Okay, we'll see who's laughing when we all get attacked eventually in our rooms. And I'm the one who survives.
I just sleep in my armor.
I honestly assumed the point was that you wanted to be able to steal the sheets easily.
No, the point was so if a burglar comes in, I could get out of the bed very easily instead of you, who's going to be trapped under your sheets that you didn't untuck.
I can fight from under my sheets just fine.
Hmm. Yeah, Eldritch Blast goes right through them.
Sincerely, this whole time, I thought that the sheets thing was about bringing someone home with your 32 charisma or what have you.
Oh, yeah. Don't want any delays. You understand, the slightest hiccup could derail this sort of mission. You gotta have everything just streamlined.
I just like the wide variety of justifications we've had for taking off the sheets off of a hotel bed. Like, I feel like every time I visit one now, I'm going to need to do this because there's all these great reasons.
I mean, I was just projecting. Rupert wants to steal everything, so.
I mean, if you ever gone to a hotel, though, the hotel always has the sheets tucked in super tight and 18 blankets on there and 23 pillows, and you just chuck it all on the floor. What? I'm the only one that does this.
Hotel staff hate you.
Well, you shouldn't put 23 pillows on the bed then. How many people are sleeping in this bed?
They don't get to decide how many pillows go on the bed. They do have to get them all off the floor.
Yeah, I don't have that problem. I just chuck them on the floor, and then when I'm... they do tend to put them back. That's the real annoying part, because then I have to do it again the next day. But, you know, they just left them there.
You have germs from the floor then on your pillow and that going on your bed.
You know what you should really do so that they don't put them back is hide them all over the room in different places.
Oh, that's genius. I'm definitely doing that.
That would be so convenient for them, you know, because then they don't have to do as much work. Okay. We go. We're off to see her illustriousness, the artisan.
Are you having these kinds of fun conversations loudly?
Oh, yes.
I am very loud.
I just met a new best friend.
I'm literally walking around in heavy armor. Everything I do is loud.
Yes. Our conversation is literally about the sheets, actually. That's just laughing and...
Okay, where are you actually physically aiming yourselves?
She said something about her stall, and I assume that's around the area where, like, we first heard the sound of tongs smashing spiders. So I'm just going to kind of go to that area. I figure it'll be obvious.
That is inside the wall of the hall, inside the hall wall.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a wall around the hall, and there's a courtyard between the hall and the wall. And against the wall are stalls that sell everything from food to the trinkets that the artisan sells. Being that it is the World Great Gambling Hall, despite being super late, there's still people around and there's always someone there willing to queue up your item and throw it in the mirror for you, as well as, of course, people doing side bets. Most of the stalls, however, as you are walking over there, are closed up. There's a stall with a bored-looking clerk who's selling the sort of snacks that someone might want to get in the middle of the night. but doesn't have any customers and just looks hopeful as you pass. And then as you keep going, just kind of, okay, it goes back to just kind of leaning on the counter and staring at nothing.
I flash that clerk a smile.
The clerk does see it and returns it briefly and then goes back to staring off into nothing.
Oh, okay. Now I'm frowning.
So you come around the back of the north side of the hall, and the artisan's stall is closed up for the night. But right next door to it, there is a food stall that seems mostly closed up, except there's someone standing just inside of it in a food server apron.
Do they look like they have fox ears?
No. But standing in front of him with their back to you is a cloaked figure.
Oh, does that look familiar?
I mean, it's a cloak.
Super familiar. You've seen cloaks all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily look like the one that you saw before, but could be.
Well, that's no fun. I mean, I can't ask everybody that's wearing a cloak if they set spiders on the city.
Yeah.
The two of them seem to be engaged in a whispered but lively conversation. And as you come around the corner being quite loud and see them.
What if you tied the sheets in knots and then you hung them out the windows?
Oh, that's a good idea. And then when you need to make a quick getaway, you could just jump out the window.
Wait, let's tie all of our sheets into a long rope and see if we can set it out one window and back in another once.
Oh, yes. Oh, and let's put all the pillows in a big bag and put those under the rope. So if we fall, it's all cushioned.
So that
I think that you should tie the sheets around your pillows.
That conversation represents my stealth check, by the way.
Everyone roll a perception check for me.
I rolled a 3.
Is this sight-based?
Yes, this is sight-based.
Helena got a 21 and Justice got a 9.
Okay.
My perception is +2. And when I rolled, I got a 5.
Okay. Georg, what did you get?
Oh, 8.
Total?
No, sorry. 11 total. I can't add. That's the problem.
Helena, as you are saying that you should wrap the sheets around the pillows, you see the figure in the apron hush the person in the cloak, just like, oh, hey, people are coming. You should stop talking. It's very clear that that's what he is trying to convey. Everyone else just sees that there are people there, but doesn't notice that detail. Although I guess someone did get a 3, so.
That was me. Still haven't noticed there are people.
Yeah, you're still really intently thinking about this idea of wrapping the sheet in various ways.
Sometimes you have to close your eyes to really get a good notion of it.
So is that the artisan stall or are they neighbors of the artisan?
It's like next door. The cloaked figure briefly turns around. Just Helena, you notice a glint of armor coming from the depths of the cloak. What, yours was what, 21?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll say with that, you notice that upon turning around and seeing that it is y'all, they react visibly and get tense. They were relaxed before, if kind of looming, but they definitely tense when they see that it's you.
You should let me know when I notice that there are people there.
Well, I look right at them and I say, hell of a night. Are y'all still selling food?
The food seller, the person in the apron, I'd say looked maybe almost relieved and says, just boarding up for the night and just kind of finishing up and gonna get home and get some rest before, got an early day tomorrow, got hungry people to feed.
I say, oh, that's a shame. I'm starving.
I'm going to roll here. Okay. The shopkeeper briefly makes eye contact with you, like directly, and is seeming to think something over, and then looks over at the cloaked figure and shakes his head a bit and says, well, sorry, closed everything up. First thing in the morning, though, would be I'll have a great breakfast tomorrow.
Oh, what's for breakfast?
Yeah, DM, what's for breakfast?
Oh, I suppose I did put you on the spot there, didn't I?
Here, read this menu.
Oh, very nice. Thanks.
No.
Ooh. Yes, I
So I don't mean to monopolize, but part of what I'm trying to accomplish here is I'm giving myself a little bit more time to observe anything about the cloaked figure, see if maybe Justice can smell anything other than whatever's for breakfast.
Go ahead and give me an investigation roll. Are you guys heading over closer to them?
Yeah, if they're right by the stall where we want to go. Also, apparently we're interested in breakfast now. So yeah, we're basically crowding around them. Do you have any sheets? We're going to need breakfast and a lot of sheets right now.
I rolled a nat 20 on my investigation. No joke. Plus one.
Teeth. Okay. Nice. With the heading over there and that excellent nat 20, I think you managed to, despite his best efforts, definitely know for sure that this is, in fact, the breastplate guy. Mm-hmm. He is trying super hard to like keep his face hidden and his body hidden with the cloak, but he's not super good at it. But I think you're the only one that notices it.
Okay, I'll keep it to myself for now.
Okay, so you've crowded around this poor shopkeeper and this cloaked figure and proceed to interrogate him about what foods are on the breakfast menu and harass him for a while until he brings out a menu and shows you like these wonderful etchings of the various dishes that he will be providing in not that many hours.
So deeply, I want this to be the villain of the campaign, and we're like interrogating him about nothing important.
I just gonna say I bat my eyelashes at him and go, please, we're so hungry.
Roll persuasion.
Okay. Persuasion is plus five and I only rolled a four.
Oh no.
No breakfast for you.
Oh.
That's unfortunately not going to do it. He's like looking very tired, but just like ducks his head back inside the shop and reaches over and comes back with an apple and hands it to you.
Huh. All right. I just start juggling it. Just the one apple.
Okay. Make a performance check.
Okay. My performance, it's a plus 10. And then I just rolled a 9. So 19.
You do an amazing job of juggling the apple. And in fact, you eat the whole apple in between tosses. Everyone is very entertained, and the cloaked figure is slowly backing away. Just like trying to be subtle and to disengage, and is not doing a very good job of it, and realizes that, and just finally just looks at the storekeeper and is very clearly like trying to change his voice. He's like,
I leave it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Right, so at that point, I notice him. And since Eurekus is busy with the storekeeper, I'm going to talk to him. Because I just remembered that we were actually here for a purpose. I'll be like, hey, you've been here for a minute. Did you see if there was any, like, fox lady who was hanging out next door? Is she still awake?
I just got here. And you just like it.
He's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It turns around and just like runs away. Yeah. But like trying to not look like he's running, he's like,
it sounds like you got something caught in your throat. You might want to stay in tomorrow.
I'll be back tomorrow.
No, don't come back. That's what I'm saying. What a nice guy that was.
So can I go knock on the stall next door?
Yeah.
I'm not being subtle about it or anything. We've been loud as hell. I'm kind of surprised that the person hasn't come out.
Okay, yeah. So you go over and bang on the boards. The shopkeeper is like, she's not here. She's usually only here until the early evening, and then she heads home.
Ah, shucks.
Right.
I don't know where she lives. Do you know where she lives? I'll look at the shopkeeper. Eyes burning into his soul.
Oh, yeah, that'll be convincing.
Do more things for us.
This poor shopkeeper. We've just berated him. We've cajoled him, tried to get breakfast out of the guy. And now...
Just wait, I've been waiting for an excuse to start casting spells at him. He just...
Oh, no.
So he looks startled that you would ask, and very unconvincingly lies his head off. No, I have no idea. I just, you know, I just, we're just, you know, stall neighbors. So, you know, I don't know where she lives at all.
Okay.
And his eyes are saying, please, please let me go.
My insight is rather bad. So I think we should roll for this one. I might believe him.
Okay.
I got a one. Not a nat.
A what?
I got not nat. I got I rolled a three and my insight is -2. So I got a one.
Okay, no one else does, but you definitely believe him.
I'm like, gosh.
Now that's just, yeah.
There's no way forward, guys.
I look at him and I say, look, mister, I walked all the way down here to talk to this crazy-ass lady that I watched beat a spider to death with a pair of tongs.
Yeah, that was nuts, wasn't it?
And I didn't even get breakfast out of it. So help a girl out.
Tell you what, if you'll just let me go to bed, I'll give you all breakfast tomorrow. You can show up. She'll be here tomorrow. She comes every day. And you just show up here in the morning and I'll give you all a nice breakfast. And you can talk to her then. Deal?
I mean, I do like breakfast. Yeah, that seems reasonable, right?
Yeah, but we should have breakfast in our room first and then have second breakfast here.
Sounds great.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Why did we need to talk to her tonight anyway?
I don't know.
I look at him and I say, it better be the best breakfast that I and my cheetah have ever had in our natural lives. And if your neighbor is upset that we had to wait to talk to her because she was waiting to find us, then I will let her deal with you in whatever way her displeasure moves her.
At that moment, I'm like, wait a minute. You do know where she lives, don't you?
I'm done talking to this man. I just start leaving.
Okay. He looks utterly defeated and finishes closing up his shop. I think you all head back to your rooms. Any shenanigans on the way back? Are you going to go harass any other shopkeepers or steal anyone else's sheets or...
Helena's like genuinely upset that there's no fancy breakfast.
I mean, there is. You just have to wait.
Oh, what time does breakfast open?
I mean, at our hotels, it's whenever we want. We can.
No, I mean, but for the fancy breakfast.
Quick, run after that shopkeeper. I'm sure he knows.
I run after the shopkeeper.
He sees you coming and starts running.
I'm like, Eureka's, leave him alone. Poor man.
I run faster and just yell, what time is breakfast?
I'm here right after it starts being day. Just in the morning. He keeps running.
I'm just mumbling. I'm marching back to the hotel. I'm like, can't even give me a wedge of cheese.
So you get back to the hotel and the attendant nods welcome and says, all guests are entitled to late night snacks in the dining room, if that's something you're interested in.
I say, finally, someone reasonable.
Damn straight.
All right. I'm going to go to bed.
Are you skipping the snacks?
Yeah. I'm pretty confident I can get snacks in my room if I want.
I assume that Helena goes and gets some snack for herself and for Justice, and Eurekus returns to the properly de-sheeted bed.
Yeah, I don't want to get crumbs in the bed without any sheets, so I just go straight to bed.
And Georg does some armor polishing before turning in.
Definitely. I mean, there's still spider guts on it. We can't have this.
We'll call that an evening. It has been a very long day. You all just met, and you've been attacked by spiders and denied late night breakfast, and that's a lot to process.
This episode featured Chelsea Burns as Harmony as Eurekus.
That music is not period appropriate.
Chris Grumbles as Don as Georg.
If I ever have to roll initiative to something that long, I'm going to kill you.
Desiree Fair as Rosaphine as Helena and Justice.
Helena is pissed.
Silas Silver as Vafras, as Callum as Rufert.
Warlock spell slots are awesome, except when they run out, then they suck.
Mark E. Fair as Tanem the DM.
I'll see you tomorrow.
And me, Damian Lichtenstein, as the intern. Thank you for listening to Coffee, Cults, and Empires, edited by Mark and Desiree. Music by Kevin Vitswong, rhymes with hit song. Hear more music at kevinvitswong.bandcamp.com, Instagram kvw.makes. He also plays clarinet in Glitch Kibitz, kibitz with an I, not a U. Listen at glitchkibitz.bandcamp.com. Character art and logo design by Carmanda. Sensitivity Consulting by Dominique Dickey. Support us on Patreon for access to outtakes, world building, and more. Find all these links in the episode notes or at coffeecultsandempires.com, where you can also find transcripts, art, actor and character bios, and more. That's coffeecultsandempires.com.
Wait a minute. I think that guy wasn't using his real voice.